Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Ghosts of Greystone, a talk with Cleet Key. Picture it, the roaring 20s, a family falls into great fortune in the world of black gold, oil. Soon their lives are transformed from everyday citizens to some of the most wealthy in the world. What do you do when you find such wealth? Well, you build a massive home, of course, but what would they call this massive concrete and limestone mansion of wealth? Greystone, of course. There it was, the Greystone Mansion, a 47,000-square-foot home for a single family. Nights would be filled with lavish parties, the who's who of Hollywood showing up, and like any great story of wealth and excess, tragedy. Tragedy that would leave a lasting impression on the estate to this very day. Today we discuss the story of the Beverly Hills Greystone Mansion with Cleet Key.
The first thing that happened to me, and I wasn't into the paranormal, never thought about ghosts or spirits or anything like that, and it happened to my parents. And my great uncle, his name was Wes, they lived up north in California, and Wes ended up getting cancer. And so he went out, they have a house up there in Cambria, and he went out on this little house on the porch at night while his wife was sleeping and took his rifle out there and shot himself in the head. Wow. Looking out at the ocean. Mm-hmm. So he was deceased. My aunt ended up having a stroke later on. And so my parents had to go up and clean up that house and take everything out so they could sell the house so they could use that money to pay for my aunt's care, my great aunt's care. And, through that, when they were in the house up there, right off the ocean, my mom and dad were inside the garage cleaning everything out, and my dad hears three knocks at the front door. And he goes, hang on a second, I'll go get that. And he goes out there, and there's nobody there. And he comes back and says, there's nobody. You heard that, right? She goes, yeah. He goes, there's nobody there. And I go, oh, okay. They continue cleaning, another three knocks. My dad goes out and says, comes back and says, there's nobody there. Let's get out of here. He felt that it might have been Wes. My mom knew it was Wes. My mom was kind of intuitive. Mm-hmm. So that scared my dad. It my mom knew that there was something going on with Wes. And they eventually told me that story. I went, oh, come on, seriously? And they said, yeah. And so I went, okay, whatever. So I let that go. And then years later, I was working on a film, one of the worst movies ever made. And
Troll 2.
No. This it's a horrible movie. And it is listed as one of the worst ever made. And I was working on it in the production end of visual effects and things. Mm-hmm. And they said one day that they were going to go up to a place called Greystone and shoot up there. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what it was. I said, oh, okay. So they went up and shot at Greystone, came back, and they said, yeah, we just shot up there. And I said, okay, cool. So prior to that time, I was working on a play, and this was probably 19, I don't know when it was late 80s, whatever. And this woman who was in the play was with, we traveled with Don Knotts. I don't know if you know.
Sure.
A long time ago. So we were doing this play, and she invited me over to her place in Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, man, I'll come over. So went over to her place, an apartment on a very nice area in Beverly Hills. And as I got in there, sat down. She had a table with all these candles and the glass housings. She lit the candles and we're chatting, and she goes, "Do you know my place is haunted?" And I go, "Well, what does that mean? I mean, in what way?"
Yeah.
She said, I've been asleep and I've woken up and there's a woman in white standing at the end of my bed looking at me. I go, did you soil yourself? I mean, are you kidding me? I was like, what did you do? She goes, she was a very calm and nice presence. I went, oh my God, you're kidding. She goes, and my piano is played by itself. And I'm going, oh, come on. And so then she pulls out a book called Seth Speaks. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not.
Okay. So it's a book about, and I didn't know anything about it. It was a book about this woman, Jane Roberts, who channels this spirit named Seth, mm-hmm. and talks about the world and all the stuff. These books are out there, and it's a very, I've read the book since this time, but when I looked at it, the photo that they had back then of her in the front cover, she looks so weird. She's just staring at her, like almost like her tongue is hanging out, looking at. And I looked at her. She hands me the book, and I said, "It looks like she ate some bad shrimp." and she looked at me and said, "That's not funny." I said, "No, look at the photo. What do you think? What happened to her?" I'm doing this little shtick, and as I'm doing the shtick, the housing on the candle on the table explodes.
Oh my God.
And I'm not saying it cracked.
Yeah.
It exploded and shattered the glass. Now this glass is tempered, so it doesn't do that, right?
Sure.
And I'm staring at it. I look at her and her face is almost more horrifying than what just happened, because she can't believe it. I had my guitar. I grabbed my guitar and I just ran out of the house. And that was then I went, what the hell was that? That was crazy.
Yeah.
And the last one is probably right around 2002 or something like that. My mom was an actress and she had Parkinson's, and she was in the Motion Picture and Television Fund home out here in Woodland Hills in California. Mm-hmm. And that's where she was as she spent her last days. And when she was brought in there, another woman was in the same room with her. And I found out that this woman was the mother of a very well-known actor who's still acting today, mm-hmm. who's one of the best actors today. And I became friends with him at that time, mm-hmm. and because our moms were in the same room. Well, I showed up one day to see my mom, and everybody was bustling around inside this little hospital area. And I said, "What's going on?" And they said, and I'm going to use a different name than this woman's name.
Sure.
But they said, Betty passed. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Oh my God, did you get a hold of this actor?"
Sure.
And they said, "He's on his way." I said, "Wow, okay." And the woman at the front desk, who was a nurse there, I could tell she was really freaked out. And I went, "What's going on? Are you okay?" And she said, "We keep getting a phone call from that bed to our desk here." I said, "From Betty's bed?" She said, "Yeah." And I had a technician come out. The phones are fine, but it keeps ringing like she's calling from her bed. And I said, "Well, you know what that is then, right?" She goes, she looks at me and I said, it's Betty. She hasn't moved on. She goes, don't say that. Don't say that. I said, "Okay, I'm sorry. So I left and I walked into the room, mm-hmm. to Betty's room. And I said, "Betty, you've passed on, honey. You're out of the body now. So if you look up in the corner of the room, you'll find a white light. Look for that corner, mm-hmm. and look for that light and go into that light and you'll be fine. We love you and everything's going to be fine. No more phone calls." Now, it was probably 15 years later, at least. I was at a play out here in LA, and I saw this actor, mm-hmm. and I went over to him and said, "Hey, it's Cleet." He goes, "Oh my God, how are you?" We chat. I said, "I'm going to tell you something I never told you before." He goes, "What do you mean?" And I told him that story about his mother, mm-hmm. and he had tears, and he's just like, "Oh my God, thank you so much for telling me that." So those were the three stories about paranormal that happened to me that I had nothing to do with the paranormal at that time.
It almost kind of found you.
Exactly. And so when I started working in 99, I was put over, starting to work at Greystone. I got a job there working on events, and then eventually overseeing some of the filming and helping the Ranger program. Then I knew something was, that the paranormal was real.
Yeah. I mean, having that experience when you were in the house and when that glass shattered, mm-hmm. After you made the bad shrimp joke, it's like, oh, it's funny in the fact that, you know, you make a shrimp joke and you kind of insulted the ghost or the spirit, and that's what the reaction was. Did you ever talk to her again about that incident or experience after you fled the house?
Thank you for the word fled. I never did. I think we went out the road again and we're doing the play, and I never talked, because it was almost like it was so bizarre that it wasn't real.
Okay. So you walk away from that moment, and you, what's going through your mind? Are you thinking, was this a trick? Was this something paranormal? I mean, how are you, everybody, when they have something like that happens kind of so sudden and unexpected, you know, you try and rationalize it. Were you trying to rationalize what was going through your mind?
Absolutely. I was trying to rationalize. I when I walked, cause I ran out of the place, not that I'm proud about that, but I ran out and I kept thinking, like, how is that even possible? Because when I said that, cause she said to me right before that, you shouldn't make fun of the ghost.
Yeah.
And that kind of jarred me a little bit. I was like, so in my head, I'm going, is this real? Does she actually have ghosts in here? And I said, no, I'm just saying, it looks like she ate some bad shrimp. And then the thing explodes. And when I ran out, I went to my car and I started driving away. I didn't even say goodbye. I just ran out.
Yeah.
And driving away, I was just like, did that actually happen?
Yeah.
No, that had to happen. But are there ghosts? Is this real? That wasn't my thing. I was never into it.
Sure.
The things prior to that with my parents didn't really faze me, because I went, okay, that's them. That didn't happen to me.
Yeah.
This happened to me and it really jarred me. It did make an impression on me, but we never talked about it again. Every time I saw her, it was about the play that we were doing, and it wasn't anything about that night.
Well, it's almost like her stern warning about don't make fun of the ghosts, almost as if, you know, she likely had some experiences of maybe others doing that, or maybe herself doing it early on without realizing the repercussions. And it was one of those things of, you know, we don't talk about this. And
no question. Yeah.
Very much stayed that way. So the Greystone, you know, you said very close to that period in time, working on one of the worst movies ever, according to you, you had some experience there. You know, were at least there for, you know, some of the production, you know, of a film. Other than that, what did you know? I want to go into the history of the Greystone in a moment, but what did you know about the Greystone at that moment in time?
I knew nothing about Greystone.
Okay.
Nothing. All I knew was it was a location where they shot a lot of films. Mm-hmm. It was obviously within the city of Beverly Hills, and sometimes they would do events up there. And there was a group of people that worked out of what's called the Gatehouse, which is down at the south end of the property. It's like 18 acres. So it's down at the south end. There was a gatehouse there, and there were a lot of people shoved into this little gatehouse. There were probably like 8 to 10 people within this little home. It was the home of, in essence, the gatekeeper of mm-hmm. that location back in the 20s.
Yeah.
So there were like, I don't know how many, 1, 2, 3, 4, like 5 rooms in there, but all 2 to a room. And it was slammed in there with people that ran events for the city out of that gatehouse.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's 2 brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe, or visit thegravetalks.com.